Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What'd we say? What'd we do?
Yeah. Ta-na, 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 ta-na. What's up, fellas? How we doing? Another W for the Celtics, 118-104. Over the Grant Williams-led Charlotte Hornets, I'm here with the real Bobby Manning and the very real, always real, Josue Pavone. What's going on,
the
boys?
The real
how you doing?
Bobby Manning. I love that.
The real. There's a lot of fakes out there. There's a lot.
Remember that used to be the thing. That was the thing on Twitter to differentiate, you know, the public figures from the wannabes, if you will.
A lot of wannabes.
Before the blue check.
Absolutely. So Celtics take care of business tonight in Charlotte. They go to 59-16. A few little things to like tonight in this one. We'll get into the ins and outs of it, but We can't start the show without talking about old friend Grant Williams. It's right on the tip of Bobby's tongue.
He watched this game
with a smile on his face, ear to ear tonight. And Bobby, your guy kind of showed out a bit tonight. He held his
mouth
there.
I got worried early too because he picked up two fouls immediately.
He got worried.
Yeah.
Like 4 minutes in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I texted you guys. I was like, this one's not going to go well for Grant tonight. And the first one didn't. I actually forgot about that game because he came out the bench and didn't do anything for Dallas that night. Obviously, the first time seeing him since he went over to Charlotte. But I like the way they use him in this one, playing off Micic, their point guard. They had a ton of combinations in the game, got him some looks inside for layups. Got inside and stood his ground on a Tatum charge take at one point, frustrated Porzingis later in this game, and he poured it on a little bit at the end. But overall, I thought he played well in a game that was close for the first half. This was a six-point game at halftime, one-possession game for most of that second quarter. And whether it was Miles Bridges, whether it was Grant, Micic with over 10 assists, who I believe came over from the Thunder at the trade deadline, they played well for a team that was missing some key guys when you think of LaMelo, when you think of Mark Williams. So I was pretty impressed by what they were able to do. And then the second half, Celtics were able to separate themselves pretty well there. But Grant, he looks strong. That's the one thing you can say about him is he goes to that center position and he doesn't have the height to stack up with the Porzingis. But when they try to go right at him, he could stand his ground. He could play some defense out there. And you saw him knocking down shots. You saw him playing with some poise inside the arc, Josue. And that's something he wanted to do last year, but really struggled to. And tonight, yeah, I saw when he plays a little bit in control, plays with some patience. A couple times guys flew by him at the three-point line. He was just able to step in and hit some two-pointers. It was a good night for Grant. I know he's had his ups and downs this year, but I still stand by the fact that he's a good player. I think he can be a really good role player.
Your take is dwindling a little bit. You're standing by the fact that he is an NBA player. Okay.
I mean, in my head, I'm like, no one's saying he's a bad player, but go on. But before,
right.
That's a good call, Jimmy. Just yeah, but keep going.
That's all I got. I mean,
looking at my PC, stay right there.
I think let's see. Coming into tonight with Charlotte. Grant is shooting 34% from three, so he's a little down from three, but he's 49% from the field. So he's going back to the rim, shooting 62%.
That's just in Charlotte. Okay. Yeah.
So 62% from two, which is a career high for him by far. Not going to Charlotte, shooting five shots a game from two, which is like double his career high. So he's changing his game a little bit there in Charlotte. And you know he can knock down threes. But for him to play strong in the post, too, and, you know, body white at one point, I just thought he looked really good out there tonight, Josue.
Yeah, no, he did. He did, Bobby. And I think this is the team where he has that flexibility and a lot more of, you know, the touches on the offensive end of the floor. I mean, yeah, guys like LaMelo, you know, didn't play in this one, you know, but that doesn't mean that this can't be Grant on a night-to-night basis. You know, I think this is a great team, great situation for him to grow. whether it's, like you said, Bobby, getting those touches in the post, getting the outside touch as well, you know what I mean? Being a big part of the offense, but it's a lot more, there's a lot more flexibility because of the team that you're on, right? This isn't the Dallas Mavericks. It's not like the team like the Boston Celtics last year, you know, where you have other guys that can fill those roles. But, you know, I thought Grant was, he was, you know, I just think this can be Grant every single night. You know, I just think it's a matter of when it came to the Celtics and even the Dallas Mavericks to a certain extent of, you know, with the contract given for the Boston Celtics, I just feel like they weren't comfortable to give him that. You know, he wasn't going to be part of their near future because of that, you know, whereas the situation in Dallas, you know, he just wasn't able to find his momentum, his rhythm because of the organization. I mean, well, because of the way the team is run, honestly, I mean, the offense, and it's just a completely different situation compared to what's going on here in Charlotte. But yeah, he was solid. You know, I just think this is the kind of team where he can really thrive and he can grow when you're one of the older guys, so to speak, and one of the guys that you could say, hey, you know, I've been there. I was two wins away from the NBA final of the team that I had a role on. You know, it wasn't just someone that he was on the bench that just was someone that's cheering these guys on, right? He had a role in that 2022 team. So yeah, it was a great game for Grant, you know, and I'm happy for him. You know, I like that the Porzingis battling him down low, you know, towards the end of the fourth quarter, you know, but he held his ground, you know, he did the best he could. But I think the Boston Celtics obviously proved why they're the dominant team and why you have someone like Kristaps Porzingis, it can make things a lot easier in terms of continuing to be the best team in the NBA with the best record. You know, like that's the gap, right? I mean, to me, like if he wasn't going to be one of those, first of all, a starter on this team, and second of all, one of those go-to guys, then the Celtics weren't going to bring him along. And I just think the Celtics didn't see him as one of those guys for a championship caliber team.
Yeah, Jimmy, why the mixed reaction on him? That's what confuses me. Because
he's a polarizing guy, Bobby. Yeah. I mean, it's not just fans who have mixed reaction. It's players who have mixed reaction. I mean, he says what he wants. He does what he wants. He plays like a pest out there. He knows how to get under your skin. I mean,
you got under Porzingis' skin at one point.
We saw it tonight with Porzingis under the basket there. And Grant didn't even really foul him. And, you know, it's just – he's just got that face. Like, you know, some guys just have that face where you just want to punch it. And I think that's Grant. And he's – you know, he's probably a little quick-witted. We know that he likes to talk. We know he likes to trash talk. And – I think a lot of players are just like, dude, you're annoying. Like, go away. Like, just like, shut up. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
is he a fake tough guy, Jimmy? Would you call him that?
I probably would call him a fake tough. I mean, who am I to say that? But I don't think Grant, it grew up, you know, in the school of hard knocks. We kind of all know the background there. He came up in a, you know, credit to him. You know, he had a nice upbringing and good on his parents for bringing him up the right way. And it sounds like
his real name is Clarence. They're trying to say.
I'm not trying to say that, but I mean, I'll put it this way: I don't think he had to worry too much about his safety. You know what I mean? Like, so Joe Sway, it's the NBA. I mean, we're talking about fake tough guys. We're talking about the NBA.
Hey, he took that.
The real tough guys.
He took the full weight of Joel Embiid when Embiid stepped on him like a bug.
Right.
That's pretty tough.
Like, he'll throw his weight around and the thing about Grant is he'll defend, you know, anybody that you throw his way. But to answer your question, Bobby, why is he so, you know, depending on who you ask, you either love him or hate him, it's just the type of guy he is. He's similar to Draymond. I think somebody brought up Draymond earlier, and maybe that's why Draymond doesn't like him either. It reminds him of himself a little bit, right? So I think he's got a good role now on a team that doesn't have any expectations. He can, Josue, you mentioned it, take maybe a little bit of a leadership role. And now the role matches the level of, like, where he thinks he is on his team. Like, he went onto a Dallas team that already had leaders. You know, you already have a Kyrie. You already have a Luka. There's already a pecking order. You're not just going to come in there and run the show. But maybe in a situation like Charlotte, where there is that void there, you know, you've got some young talent there, but I wouldn't say that they've got these strong leaders and they've got this really, like, forward direction and bright future that they're gung-ho with. So he can come in there and maybe provide some of that and fill and work himself into the role where he already thinks he deserves, I guess.
Yeah, I'm less so talking about Josue, the players, because I think we see the things he does and how often he talks and his personality, the way it can grate on some people. And I still don't know what happened in Dallas. I got some help for Jason Kidd for even asking. when the Mavs came to town. But
that was hilarious.
But can we
just say real quick though, the way he answered it though, just show that you know what I mean. It wasn't even like but Grant was a good kid, this and that. No, it was just a matter of, look, we moved on. Like, I don't even want to talk about this guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he didn't even throw
Grant a bone, you know? Like, I just thought that was funny. But, yeah, go ahead.
I'm talking more about the fans because, Listen, you didn't want to keep him? Great. You didn't think he's worth the money? Great. I just don't get, especially from a Celtics fan base that's been so passionate about these kind of guys, the bench guys, the up-and-comers, the guys who probably don't have as big of a role but might have their moments, for him to have that Kelly Olynyk moment and hit 7 threes in a game 7 and put you in position to even make the finals, that alone, never mind all the other stuff he did that year, should make him...
You're talking about 2 years ago now, Bobby. You keep having selective memory with Grant. You brought this up last show, too.
I mean, it hasn't been all rainbows
and butterflies with Grant.
I think he's talking about the leadership thing, though, right? Like, with these guys.
No, I'm saying the fans should appreciate what he gave them, even though he's gone. It shouldn't be once you're out the door, oh, you were never good anyway. You always stunk, blah, 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 blah. Like, I just don't get that from the fans' perspective.
Well, you're saying the fans. I think you're generalizing the fans, because I think when Grant shows up next week, he's going to be cheered. There's no reason to boo the guy. But when it come down to Bobby, it was a business decision. At the end of the day, it was a business decision, right? Celtics didn't think that he was worth the money that he was going to get paid. They went another direction, and I think they made the right choice. Now, there are things about Grant that would annoy fans too. I mean, he would make some boneheaded plays out there sometimes. He would commit some dumb fouls. He would miss shots, believe it or not. And let's be honest. It didn't end on a high note for Grant Williams here in Boston. Now, I defended him standing up for, you know, being tough and trying to be strong and going toe-to-toe, if you will, with Jimmy Butler. And I've said this over and over, right message, wrong messenger. I don't necessarily fault Grant for doing it. I fault Tatum, Brown, and Smart at the time for kind of cowering in that moment and being scared of Jimmy Butler. And I also criticized the fans for criticizing Grant and being like, oh, you woke up the beast. You woke up Jimmy Butler. You shouldn't have poked the bear.
But his teammates were doing the same almost, Jimmy. Like, they didn't even stand up.
Exactly.
They didn't stand up for him at all.
But Celtics
it was
fans
like,
were
yeah,
all,
we don't need you to do that.
Look
Come
what
on,
you
Grant.
Did, Grant. Like, well, like, what do you mean? Yeah, Celtics fans used to say F everybody, and they wouldn't be scared of anybody. So it was a little bit hypocritical for Celtics fans to be crying about what Grant did. I blamed it on the rest of the team for not having his back and not stepping up to the occasion. But then he missed the free throws, right? So that's kind of inexcusable.
That was
and
a bad
just
moment.
Generally speaking, there are a lot of things that you can be kind of annoyed about with Grant. But he's a funny guy. He was a fun guy, good locker room guy, I think, for the most part. Not that I would know, really. I don't have any inside info on that. But
someone disagrees with that.
Right, exactly. But I just think overall, Bobby, it was a business decision at the end of the day. And, you know, Grant goes his way, Celtics go there. And
hey, if
go
he gets
there.
A standing ovation next week or whenever that is.
I can say
nice
standing. Yeah, I don't know if he's getting a standing ovation. I mean,
so they're just going to sit down and give a light clap.
No, but they're not going to boo the guy. I don't think they're going to. They have no reason to boo the guy. I think it'll
no
be
boos allowed at the Garden.
It'll be like, oh, yeah, Grant Williams. He was that guy who, like, did some things. And, like, then
it's Kelly Olynyk. Kelly Olynyk is the perfect comparison. They both played 4 years. They both won a game 7. They both had their highs and lows, probably one really good season. And that was that. And then they left, and, you know, they've just been another guy around the
That's
league.
That's it. No one boos Kelly Olynyk. Nobody cares either way. Oh, yeah, Kelly Olynyk. Yeah, he tried to get Kevin Durant here and failed epically. I remember about Kerry.
But Grant went to a final.
He'll remember for game 7. He'll remember for that.
Grant went to a finals and lost, Bobby. They lost. You don't crown losers.
Getting there was a big deal for this group.
If Grant won a ring in Boston, he'd be getting like the Eddie House treatment. He'd be getting all the like the bench
he'd
guys
still be
won.
Here.
Yeah,
come back different. Here and do whatever the hell they want whenever they want.
Right.
Scal, Eddie,
PJ
Ozzie,
Brown doesn't have to
PJ
pay for
Brown, Cassell, all those guys, man. You can come back whenever you want. But if you didn't win, I mean, yeah, okay, thanks, but no thanks. Like, on to the next. Just another Celtic.
And who's the next? Sam Hauser.
The next? Hell of a segue. We'll do it.
I was like, what
we'll
do you
toss
mean?
Him up there.
Where's he going?
Sam Hauser is next.
I think it's a fitting transition because Hauser's not Grant, right? He can't defend the way Grant does. He's not as physical. He's not that
kind of player. Don't start by what he isn't.
But to do this again, and this is now the ninth time.
Grant metric.
No, because he sort of plays the same.
You didn't know Grant,
Josue. He plays the same role.
That's okay.
But man, this is getting ridiculous, guys. I mean, we're getting to a point where, and we've debated him and Pritchard, who's going to be that last guy off the bench in the playoffs. If he can come into a game and hit 5 threes on a given night, maybe it's in a swing game of a playoff series. I mean, this is crazy what we're seeing with him now. This was his ninth game this season hitting 5 threes. And he gets into this rhythm. Like, this looked just like that Wizards game where he got hurt.
Damn.
Oh, my God. He was on fire. Yeah. And he got into that zone.
That corner three was nice.
He got into that zone, Jimmy, where every time he put it up, you thought it was going in. And that's crazy. Like, how many times have we had that debate on this show or any podcast on the network over years, even before this show? They need a shooter. They need a pure shooter. They need a guy who can knock down threes. They were looking for that forever. You threw out Eddie House. It felt like from him on, you didn't have a bench shooter of this caliber. Well, here he is. And listen, he's not going to be consistent every night in the playoffs. And he's certainly not going to give you 5 to 7 threes every night. But the defense and the movement and his overall poise out there has just reached a point where I think you can put him out there for 10 to 13 minutes every night in the playoffs. And let's not forget, guys, he played zero in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge development. I don't think we've talked about Hauser enough this year, how he went from, this guy who did a few things in the regular season last year to this bona fide bench volcano sometimes. Like he's had some monster games off the bench this year.
Yeah, he's such a vital piece now, especially going through the playoffs, having a weapon like that, like you mentioned, Bobby, that you didn't have last year or never mind 2 years ago. And when something like this happened, it can be the difference. You know, it can be the difference between Celtics winning and losing one of these playoff games. And I think he's ready for that. You know, I think, you know, we talked about this at this stretch of the year, right? Especially for a team like the Celtics with such a humongous lead, top of the Eastern Conference, where you want to see the other guys, you know, get going, find their rhythm. And Hauser's one of those guys for sure. Especially right before the injury happened, right before he's about to, you know, beat Marcus Smart's record for most 3-pointers in a single game, about to shatter it probably that night if he didn't get hurt.
Oh, it was so crazy.
That's when we're kind of wondering, okay, wait, can Hauser keep this up? He takes a few days off, comes right back, and here we go again. You know, Sam Hauser, another huge night, putting these 3-pointers together, making it look easy out there, and it created such a difference, especially in this game, especially in the game where the Celtics chucked up more than 50 3-pointers. Maybe I shouldn't say chucked because, you know, they did make a good amount of those, but it was one of those games where you're thinking to yourself, okay, they have that separation there. Hauser is going, just feed Hauser at this point, right? You know, get as many looks as you can for this guy. Clean looks, even contested looks at times, because he's feeling it. He's hot right now. And that's exactly what they did, and it created the separation that they needed and led into the game-ending run. And all of a sudden, you know, you look up and it's a double-digit deficit or way beyond that, right? You know, where the Hornets are trying to cut this thing close and hang around as long as they could. But, you know, that was the difference, you know. And I think that's the same kind of offensive explosion off the bench that you can have that will resonate in the playoffs 100%, especially on a team like this where, you know, 1 through 5, their starting lineup is already filled with mismatches for a lot of the teams in the Eastern Conference, especially in the first couple of rounds of the playoffs. I mean, look out for Hauser for sure. Even in the first round of him having one of these humongous offensive explosion games where you're like, oh man, like the Celtics, they have one of these guys for the rest of the playoffs. Look out. You know, like that's a weapon that a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference just don't have.
So, Jimmy. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me chime in here. I think Hauser's a lock for the playoff rotation, Bobby. I was just gonna ask that. It's not a question in my mind.
For sure.
The way he's playing right now, he is a walking, talking bucket out there. He is just on a heater, and you ride that as long as you can. And we've talked about it on the show. He's not Grant, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, Bobby. But he's not a liability out there either. This guy is a rotational player.
Would you call him a 3-and-D guy?
I mean, in a way, because I think there's a lot of 3-and-D guys where they're very light on the D. So, yeah, I actually think I would. And regardless, Bobby, he's a 3 guy. And if you can get in the playoffs, if you can get your other guys to step up around him, again, he's not a liability. But we know sometimes that Tatum's not going full out defensively. We know when Jaylen Brown does, because when we see it, we're like, this guy is borderline all defense caliber type player when he wants to be. Porzingis, we saw him with 4 blocks last game. You know, we know what these guys, Holiday goes without saying, and White is just as good, you know, two-way player, one of the best two-way players in the NBA. So we know what this team is capable of. So when you put Hauser out there, that's not a black hole by any stretch. It's just playing team basketball on that defensive end. You put a guy out there that can drop 7 threes on any given night now. Okay, that's just in his quick release. Guys know where to get him the ball. He can shoot it in motion now. That corner three that Pritchard got him tonight, pretty much falling out of bounds. That's Steph Curry type stuff right there. Okay,
and it's devastating too. Like it crushes opposing.
Yeah,
defense.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So you take whatever he lacks on the defensive side, he more than makes up for on the offensive side, and that's why he's getting meaningful minutes, and that's why he's 100% in this playoff rotation. I think he plays more than Pritchard will in this. I mean, you need him more than Pritchard. And he's cutting into Grant's minutes from last year. He's cutting into, you know, Brogdon, Smart, those guys' minutes. Obviously, you brought in Holiday. But there are minutes to be made up from last year's playoff rotation. And I think he's going to make up a good amount of them. So he's firmly in there as the 7th guy, in my opinion. I mean, it's no question.
It's interesting, too, because I'll listen to Grandy's interview with Joe before the game sometimes and tuned in today. And I think Grandy asked him, you know, you had a lineup last game, I think in the 4th, maybe without White, without Brown, without Tatum. So they were going deep into the bench for a look. And, you know, it was still kind of a contested game. And they did a similar thing tonight to start the 4th. They went White, Pritchard, Hauser, Brissett, Cornette. And, you know, it was like a 10-ish point game at that point. And so Joe said, basically, we're going to have to get to all these different guys in the playoffs. We got to have them involved. We got to use them because they've given us stuff all year. And obviously he's talking about Hauser, Cornette, Pritchard, you know, all the guys off the bench who have been pretty steady for them this year. As I've said, you know, I've had my back and forth with John Jimmy, who, you know, basically says that those guys are just going to be, you know, taped to the bench when the time comes. But whether or not Joe's honest and sincere about this, it's tough to say, because once you get into the playoffs, I think that instinct is to just tighten things up and really roll with your guys for 40 minutes. Are we going to see extensive amounts of Hauser, Pritchard, you know, Cornette, those guys? I don't think you'll see 3 of them out there on this court at the same time, like we've talked about. But you know, one of those guys gets rolling, you might let them roll a little bit out there, you know, especially if they're hitting shots and such. So that's a huge difference over last year. I even asked Joe about a week or so ago, do you feel a little bit more comfortable using these guys going into the playoffs this time around? And he said, no, you know, we used them last year and blah, 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 blah. But it feels like he is, Jimmy. And for him to say, we had these guys rolling all year at different points, we have to use them in the playoffs, you know, it can't be different in the playoffs, that to me stands out. Because they didn't do that last year. They put Cornette on the bench for good. They put Hauser on the bench for good. You saw a little Pritchard, but not much. I mean, they played tight last postseason. So this year, we'll see. And Tillman, too, who I think is starting to get a little bit more comfortable.
Well, yeah, I feel like he's earned Joe's trust. I mean, I think that's the biggest takeaway here, especially compared to what we saw last year. And, yeah, a lot of it had to do with just concerns that of him being a liability on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, teams used to target him. Remember that last year? Like, all of a sudden, this year, you know, that's out of the question now because he stands his ground. He's improved a lot on that end of the floor in terms of switching, you know, lateral, defending, just getting his, being his guy to the spot, I feel like is where he really shines, especially when it comes to locking down the wing position, you know, which is a huge part of what used to really trigger these humongous comebacks from teams, if you ask me, last year. You know, a big flaw for the Celtics, if you ask me. And this year, this just isn't the case. You know, he kind of got out of Joe's doghouse of last year. He certainly earned his trust because he's continued to improve on that end of the floor, while his offense, obviously, you know, from a shooting standpoint, I mean, it's the best we've ever seen. So it's a given, you know, that he'll get his you know, be one of the first guys off the bench for the Celtics team in the playoffs with Al Horford and Payne Pritchard.
You got to mention
Rodney out that 8-man rotation for sure, man. That I mean, it's looking stronger than ever. You know, we I feel like it's been kind of a question that's lingered throughout the course of the regular season, but this second unit is really convincing us, you know, that they're going to be stronger than what people expected going into the playoffs.
I like that Horford-Porzingis combination too. They started tonight, and that just continues to grow. I feel like every Horford game that they use
today, man. I love what we saw from Horford tonight. That sequence with all those offensive rebounds, like, this is what I'm talking about, man. Playoff Al, it's coming.
This is why you're about to win 60 games, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great because it's going to happen on this homestand coming up for the Celtics, and they can use some home cooking, man. You know, just settle down a little bit. It was a bit of a rocky road trip, but I think we learned a little bit more about this team that we weren't quite sure, you know, going into those two games in Atlanta.
I got to fax my dogs, you guys, because we have to remind everybody about Prize Picks.
Fax my dog.
You want to download the app Prize Picks, hit the promo code CLNS for 100% deposit match up to $100. What is Prize Picks, you ask? I'm so glad that you asked, guys. It's Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get into the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. So you can do like four picks, like four more or less, and you can win up to 10 times what you play. So you can do, like, let's say you want to do more on Tatum, less on Grant for obvious reasons, except not tonight. But, you know, you can actually go multi-sport too. So there's baseballs live right now. You've got college basketball. You've got NBA, obviously, and the playoffs are coming up. You can play around with the numbers, and you know, the winnings can be pretty high. $10 turns into $1,000. Don't forget hockey either, and it's super easy. You can sign up extremely quick, and even making your picks, you can do it in like less than a minute. So I'm mixing in baseball now. I talked about my Shohei play recently. You've got, like I said, you've got NBA playoffs wrapping up, coming up around the corner here, and hockey playoffs too.
I take a Red Sox player and go less on their hits.
Go less on their hits.
Cover story.
Go more on their stretch. The pitching has been unreal for the Red Sox.
It's crazy.
If you're looking to play around on Prize Picks, that's the way to do it. So you want to download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Again, guys, Prize Picks is the number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. Easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. And again, that is the code CLNS when you download the Prize Picks app for a $100 match up to $100. What are you giggling at, dude?
Our super chat right there. We might need a He's Your Third Center t-shirt.
Yeah, Bobby. I was going to say, Bobby knows a little bit. It's crazy. We're both laughing at the same thing. That's funny.
Well, I'm so glad that Mark and Melanie are back after John yelled at them a couple of shows ago. Here's yeah, crazy right. That Cornette is our ninth best player, not to mention he's your third center. Also, who do you guys the least
want to see? He's going to win, man. I think he might win. I think
Mark and Melanie, we're going to answer your question.
We need a t-shirt, Nick.
We're going to answer your question. We do need a t-shirt. Before we do, though, speaking of He's Your Third Center, we are live right now. March Madness is on CLNS. Yeah. March Madness on CLNS is still going strong. And live right now is the Hernan Gomez region. It is the Final Four, and it's He's Your Third Center versus Blame Pot.
How did the fart lose?
You know what?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, it did lose.
I don't know how it lost to Blame Pot, because we play Blame Pot, but like it's not always that funny. It's not really funny,
people look forward to it though, because they want to. They like our percentages. You know what I mean? I think that's what it is—the blame pie. Because I'm sure everyone has their own blame pie. So I'm sure, like, if one of ours is very close in terms of percentages, they feel like connected with the show.
So there have been some people who want to know the origin of He's Your Third Center, and obviously it started with Bobby. Constantly,
I mean, it was like 2 weeks ago.
Constantly reminding us. But then one time it was me and John on, and Bobby, I don't even know if you've seen this, but I think it was.
I enjoyed this a lot.
I think it was the impression of your third center that really took it off. So we're going to play right now so people know. Before you put your votes in, everyone knows what Blame Pie is. We've played it on the show after most of the losses. And here is the origin, if you will, of he's your third center.
What do you want? What do you want us to do? Cut him? You know, like he gets really.
Yeah. What do you want for your third center? He's your third center, John.
I hate the Luke talk and I hate the Tillman talk.
We keep criticizing this guy.
What do you want from him?
And done more than anyone has ever expected, except me. He's your third center. That's real.
That's how I feel.
And that's it. And I'm actually wearing the same shirt as I was in that clip, believe it or not. But
that's what I'm saying to me.
It's so funny to me because to me, it like it really like embodies this whole Luke Kornet thing on the show because it's like we all have him, you know, for that third center role. But I feel like because like I don't know, like because he does above average, I guess is the best way to put it. Bobby is like, see, you guys think he's terrible. And it's like, we don't think he's terrible. I just feel like you kind of maximize like his growth or whatever. I don't know, something like
no,
that.
You think
that we're giving him slack, but it's just like, no, like he's fine. But you're like, no, he's incredible. I think something like that. Like that's the whole like.
That's what people think I'm doing. But on the flip side, when he gives up a bucket, everyone's like, Luke, get him off the court. Like
he's easy pickings, Bobby. He's easy pickings. That's the grant effect, really.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
That's why I say he's your third center, because what other third center is gonna be out there playing the defense he does inside, making the passes, grabbing the board, scoring on some nights? He's a luxury. As your third center, if someone can tell me in the chat right now, who's a better third center on a roster right now? Let me know, because I want to hear it. I don't think there is one. I think Luke Kornet is the best third center in the NBA.
I don't know. That's bold. That is very bold.
What do you
mean?
I'm sure we can find one.
Can you think of a name?
Third big? Are you just saying strictly center, or are we going bigs here?
No. It's got to be straight. It's got to be
just,
center.
Just the C only? Just a maybe. Straight up center.
Yeah, right. Because like the Knicks have Hartenstein. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. See, he's already starting to backtrack a little bit.
No, but like Fernando, Randall, is he a center?
Luke just suggested Fernando.
Here's the thing. You're not doing Luke any favors here. Like now we have to tear down Luke and find all the better third centers in the league. Instead of just being like, yeah, he's your third center. He is your third center. We'll
Naj Reid's a good choice. Yeah, I think I'll give you that one.
Oh, you think? Yeah, Naj Reid would eat up Kornet. All the 11 squares and then some.
Hey, Celtics did win that last game.
Let's answer this question quickly for Mark and Melanie since they were kind enough.
I don't know, man. I think Fernando might be the best third center.
Who do you guys least want to see in the playoffs? We'll go quickly on this because we talked about it last show, and I know we'll talk about it.
We got some news today, too.
15 other times. Is there a team that sticks out that you definitely do not want to play? Bobby, we'll start with you, I guess.
So if I was going to say – who you want to avoid?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't want to lose, you definitely want to avoid Miami because you could lose.
We don't want to lose.
I'm gonna pull a John right now. Enough with the fan nonsense. We've watched the series two or three times now. Yeah, going back to 2020, three times.
2020.
You've lost twice. The third time. All Jimmy
you almost
had to
blew
do,
it.
all he had to do was hit a practice shot and you were losing. So enough with the nonsense. I know the Heat aren't as good this year. I know the Celtics are way better than they've been in the past. I'd be picking the Celtics in that series. But you could lose to the Heat. Don't put that past the Celtics team. You have to consider that possibility, right, Jimmy? Like, that's something you have to consider if we're going in the Celtics Heat. I don't want to hear you can't lose to the Heat.
A little ghost of seasons past creeps in, you know, a little PTSD. All of a sudden, the Heat steal one of two in Boston, and they get the home court back and bring it back. You know what I mean? Like, things can happen.
But it could also be, Jimmy, it could also be one of those best of seven series that makes or breaks the Celtics, right? The Celtics win or come out of a series like that. They finally beat the Heat, all that, considering what happened last year and that whole mental toughness and all that. Then it's like they have the mentality that they can beat anybody. But I feel like that mentality is already there. But sure, I would embrace that. I don't think that if you're the Celtics, or you know, even us looking at a team like this going into the playoffs, I don't think you say, oh, they got to avoid this team or avoid that team. They shouldn't be afraid of any team, because I don't think there's any team in the Eastern Conference that could beat them in the best of seven. So, I mean, if you had to pick one, then yeah, I think the Miami Heat, they're that team. They're the one team where you say, okay, if there's an upset, you would put your money on that team, you know, out of all the guys.
And the coaching,
potential
coaching is just another level.
Matchups. Yeah, the coaching is the one thing that stands out the most. I mean, that's the part that I feel like would clearly be in the Miami Heat's favor. Does that give them the benefit of the doubt? I mean, no, but it certainly puts them in a great position.
We got to talk too about Philly, because as I've pointed out past couple shows here, they're emerging as that statistically most likely opponent for Boston here. And we're going to see what Embiid looks like. He's out tomorrow, but it sounds like he's going to be back in the next couple of games here.
I think it was Wednesday, right? I think that's a game that they could put him on a minute restriction.
Jimmy, does a fully healthy Sixers team, round one, again, we're not talking round two, we're not talking the East Finals, does Celtics Sixers round one with Philly at full strength scare you a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, Embiid is a monster. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be 100%, but the fact he's coming back this soon, he's going to have some time to ramp up. We'll get a pretty good idea of what he's capable of and, you know, how healthy he really is, you know, going into the playoffs. So I think you want to avoid a team that has, you know, an MVP caliber player on it in the first round. Now, the Celtics they've beaten the Sixers, you know, in the past. That's, I guess, the difference between them and the Heat, right? So, you know, it really depends on how healthy you think Embiid is going to be. Maxie can score in bunches, as we know.
They're
a different team. You know, are they talented enough with a 75% Embiid? Probably not, right? So I'll be honest, guys. The first round doesn't scare me. I mean, this team, if we're talking about Celtics struggling or not getting out of the first round, like, there are potentially major, major issues and changes on the horizon. So I don't want to sweat too much about the first round, but then it starts to get interesting after that.
We're talking about teams here.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because of the potential matchups. I mean, these are teams that are supposed to be, you know, like last year.
Chicago.
Like, you want to avoid these teams. All of a sudden, like, they're there because of the kind of seasons that they've had compared to.
Right, but they've had these seasons for a reason, you know. And so, like, unless they really turn things around, which doesn't always happen in the NBA, like, you can't just flip a switch, really. Now, a team like the Heat, they got hot.
But see, the thing with the Sixers, though, I see that's different compared to the Heat. I don't think that one is as scary of a first round matchup compared to the Heat.
Because they were the three seed, right? Before Embiid.
Right, Bobby. But also, and two, I don't think it's one of those teams where the Celtics beat. They're like, okay, man, we could beat anybody now. Oof, we finally got over the hump. You know, Philadelphia, they almost beat last year. And, they're obviously not as scary compared to this year, the team that they were last year. And yeah, they did have that 3-2 lead against the Celtics, which I think a lot of people forget. You know, in terms of how far Doc Rivers got those guys, but they're just not the same team. They don't have the same kind of, they don't strike the same kind of fear. If you're the
Celtics. Just love the Boston-Philly matchup.
Yeah, but they're a matchup. They're a nightmare, man. Like, 1-5, like, there's mismatches everywhere. And the Celtics will, honestly, I think that's a 5-game series. I think that's how good the Celtics are compared to Philly.
Bobby, when's the rematch with Jay? Deflategate 12 wants to know. Maybe we'll get something going this summer.
Let's wait for the good weather.
You know what we should do?
Well, no. First of all, yeah, it's got to be off season. You got to get Bobby into basketball mode. I mean, come on, let's face it. It's not fair. Everyone is in reporting mode.
Everyone's been eating press meals, really, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's true. We'll get Jay and Jim
after the playoffs are done. You know, so then, you know, Jay can do what he has to do to get into shape.
We'll get Jay King. We'll get Jim Packer. We'll get B Rob. We'll get a couple other media guys. We'll get a pickup game going.
Yo, I was talking about on the Cedric Maxwell podcast. I was saying
we'll get Cedric.
We get a CLNS 3-on-3 or something. Get a little tournament going.
Yeah, we'll take Max on our team.
Oh no,
Max would love that.
He can clog the paint still.
Hasn't touched a basketball in decades. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
he'll be the MC.
Max is so happy in Charlotte tonight. By the way.
Oh, yeah. He's home. He's home for sure.
There you go, Josue. You got a fan here. Derek's got money on you, scoring leader of that game.
I gotta say this.
He obviously hasn't seen you play, but that's all good.
That could happen. Hey, Matt co-signed me on the last episode. So
let's throw this.
He can vouch.
Where are you going? Where are you going with it, Bobby?
Well, I know me and Josue both said Miami, but as we talk about Philly a little bit more here, to your point, let's say the Celtics going to beat any of these teams. It's just about which one do you want to avoid because it's going to be difficult or could go long. Mm-hmm. But in the case of Philly, to me, what would worry me about this series is just how physical it would be. You got mm-hmm. Embiid throwing his body around, falling on guys. You get crazy Nick Nurse's defense flying all over the place, arms swinging.
He's going to be slapping people around too. Yeah.
It'd just be a grueling series, especially for a round one. And you don't want guys getting hurt. You don't want to play extra games where you don't have to. And that's one of the biggest factors here, Jimmy, that we don't talk about much because the Celtics have been relatively healthy this year. You know, especially when we're talking about the bench right now. You really can't afford an injury on this roster. I know we've loved the bench at spots and they've all played well, but it's a different ball game when, let's say, you lose Holiday for a game or two and all of a sudden Pritchard has to play backup guard minutes for 20 minutes. In the playoffs, that's where it gets a little more dicey with some of those bench guys. So you don't want to play a Philly with Embiid bodying guys and the defense they play and just some of the physical guys on that team. Kyle Lowry's on that team now too, who's been known to toss his body around and just be a disruptor out there. I don't want anything to do with that. The Heat are obviously similar, but I don't remember there being many plays against the Heat over the years where guys are getting banged up or mm-hmm. bodies. That actually happened to the Heat the last time the Celtics were down there. They lost a couple guys to injuries that night. But
so who are the other options? You've got Sixers, and we've talked about Heat. Atlanta.
You actually have a game right now in progress, maybe Philly, Atlanta, as a preview of that 9-10 game.
Who, Atlanta?
Chicago, Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's up 103-90.
Do we care about Chicago?
I mean,
I think they lose to Atlanta.
I don't think they're going to, I don't think they're going to, they're not going to be in position to face someone.
Yeah, they've been interesting in the clutch this year because they play pretty much every game in the clutch. They've won a lot of them. But I would pick Atlanta in that game. And that's where, you know, going back to last week and those losses, if Atlanta's going to beat Chicago, they're going to be one game away from playing you. So they're a pretty good bet to be that team that you're going to run into. But I think the thinking with Philly is that the Heat are moving in the right direction. They might actually move up to six. We'll see. And then Indy's in the picture here. But for now, I think you would pick the Heat over Philly, and then you would pick Philly over Atlanta. I think that's why Philly's seen as the most likely opponent. Mm.
There it is.
I love that.
But who knows? We got to see him how Embiid looks.
These are great matches. I mean, listen, just because I'm favoring the Celtics, that doesn't mean that these won't be an entertaining matchup.
Right.
I mean, outside of Philly, I really don't think that would be a long series for the Celtics. I just don't, to be honest.
There was a time when Indy would scare you a little bit, but I think that time is come and gone.
Yeah, because they've shown that they're not as committed or they're not as scary on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, the reason why I feel like they were in the picture was because of what they were doing on the offensive end, and we're waiting for them to cool off. They did it. Remember, Bobby? It was like, man, they're the highest scoring offense in the league. You know, they're one of them for a while. But yeah, now I'm not sure that would be a long series as well. I guess the Miami Heat is the one series I love to see for the Celtics because it would really challenge them. And again, it would be one of those series where I think the Celtics walk away thinking, man, we can beat anyone now.
Well, you want to go to Miami too.
And I think it would be a great trip. I do. I mean, it's always fun down there.
You want to go to Miami. Ivan wants to go to Atlanta. Does anyone want to go to Philly? Celtics, probably not, right?
The Celtics fans will travel down there. There's always the fans getting into it when the Heat are good, obviously, right? You know, so then great atmosphere.
They got fans.
I think in terms of the cities, if we're talking cities, we're going to go Miami, Atlanta, Chicago, actually, I'll put third. Nice. And then we'll go Philly probably and Indy. City. Josue and I did not enjoy Indy at all. Maybe because it was bone chilling in February.
I don't think that's a hot take. I don't think people are beating down the doors to get into Indy.
Right, but there's no Milwaukee, Jimmy. Ugh.
You don't want to end up there either.
I don't mind Milwaukee, but that's for down the line.
Milwaukee.
That's gonna happen, unfortunately. But
Milwaukee.
Yeah, I've made way too many trips to Milwaukee, man, that I would have liked to, but their team is always good, guys. And this year's probably no different.
Cleveland in the mix too this year.
We're gonna see a Celtics Bucks.
Man, there's some bad cities, huh, in the East.
Hey, you got New York though. More than any other series, forget this first round talk. We need Celtics Knicks this year. I don't care.
I would love that. What did Josh Hart say last night that people kind of twisted and went with? Not twisted, but they kind of blew it up a little bit. That he basically said that they're going to act as if, like, I think a couple of their best players, OG and
Randall
are not going to be back.
You have to, right? I mean, OG just went down again. No one knows why. Randall hasn't seemed to have made much progress, man,
because I think the Knicks could be
It sucks for the competitive standpoint.
Oh, we do have to look out for the Rats. Yeah.
for the
we gotta avoid New York for the Rats. Oh, yeah, that press room encounter I have every time.
Knicks might be trending in the wrong direction. Pacers aren't playing great.
This is New York we're talking about, Jimmy. So they're like little cats. They're
those
ridiculous.
Rats. Yeah, those are some. Yeah.
It was
rats.
Scary that night.
The big boys.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Derek White made $500,000.
That'd be a great series, second round series with Celtics. That could happen too.
What would you do if you made $500,000? You went to the convenience store, scratch ticket, boom, $500,000. That's Derek White's night tonight, basically.
Max got so excited on the air.
Did he?
Yeah.
About Derek White.
Derek. Yeah. So for those who don't know, Derek White had his 185th made 3-pointer of the season, which activated his bonus for hitting that in his contract. So he's $500,000 richer tonight. And I mean, I bring it up because it's just to say like what type of a player he's been for them this year. And you know, they're going to, again, we might talk about another guy they have to make decisions on at some point too, but Derek White is going to cash in somewhere in his next contract, more than the $500,000 they just cashed tonight.
I mean, what more can you say about this guy? It's automatic at this point. Yeah, you know, I love that they put the ball in his hands more tonight. You saw Tatum playing off him at times. I like when Tatum gets into the pocket. He dropped that little dump pass off to Holiday. I think Holiday tossed it right to Cornett, and you know they got a basket out of that. He's throwing the ball all over the place. He's gonna hit that career high in assists. We had his trainer on before the season as a guest, and he was like, "The one thing I told Derek." Get that career high assist. You can do it on this team. And they've put him in that position to be a playmaker this year. We've talked a lot, Jimmy, about like the Heat series, first round matchups, last postseason. The one thing you got to say, because this is a whole different team, Derek White is going to play 40 minutes a game in the playoffs this year. And last year he was sitting on the bench. In some games, he was not closing many of the postseason games.
Yeah, they forgot, but Joe forgot about him in that Miami Heat series, man. Like,
he was the third guard. Yeah. He was the third guard on this team last playoff, and he was the best of them in retrospect. And now he's free to play the style. He's playing confident. He could be all the difference in the playoffs this year. I know Porzingis has changed things a lot, and Holiday's been great. The biggest difference in the Celtics winning the championship this year could be empowering this guy because he's just so like he's flawless. The guy doesn't do anything wrong and he does everything right out there. It's crazy.
Yeah, flawless is you could make that argument for sure. Everyone on the team, I mean, he's been the most consistent this year, I feel like. And in terms of like his role, not only has he thrived in it, but he's all of a sudden proven himself to be one of the more valuable players that you have, especially when you look at injuries in the backcourt to Jrue Holiday and, you know, Jalen's hurt. I know we talked about it a little bit. I mean, I just think he's that one consistent guy where on either end of the floor, he's going to give you something. He's going to be a threat out there. And he's just super confident. I mean, that's the part of his game that makes you think that he can, like, this thing in the playoffs could be even, you can even take it up a notch if you ask me, because that's where his he doesn't show any signs of any hesitation, you know, like, which is a complete 180 compared to the guy when they first traded for him that season, you know, where he wasn't quite sure how to fit in and he was just trying to find his way. All of a sudden, he, from a basketball standpoint, I mean, I know we talked about it briefly, or at least in the first half of the season, you don't miss Marcus Smart. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, from a basketball standpoint, like, Not saying these guys don't miss him for who he was in the locker room and from a leadership standpoint, but I mean, Derek White just checks all of those boxes. And I feel like when you couple that production with what they've received from Drew Holiday, it really shows that they have the toughest backcourt in the league, if you ask me.
Yeah, I would co-sign with that, Josue. I mean, I love what White's brought to this team, not just what he does on offense, but just like seems to always make the right play. I'm never like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, has everyone ever said that? I feel like I say that about a lot of players.
But and that's why we love them, but Smart was the complete opposite. You constantly had moments where you're like, oh.
God, yeah, like, here we go. Like, why are you doing that?
He would do something that you would, like, that would shock you, like when you made 11 three-pointers in a game, you know? Like, yeah, for sure.
I think that's probably the thing that fans probably have the trouble with the most is separating Marcus Smart, the person, with Marcus Smart, the player, because sometimes those two things interact and it was like, oh, it's Marcus like diving for loose balls. That's why we love him. But then it was like, also like, what was that pass or like, what was that shot? You know what I mean? But you still appreciated what he gave the team and the city. So that's why fans struggled so much with, you know, the Marcus Smart experience. But with Derek White, you know, much more soft-spoken guy, obviously, right? Different personality for sure than Marcus Smart. But, you know, the way he plays and, you know.
He's been a little more vocal this year, though, Josue. Wouldn't you say? Just being around him a little bit, seeing him in the locker room. Sure, like, he's expressing himself.
A little more comfortable.
He let his hair down this year, if you will, right? I mean, I just think he's showing his personality, you know? I just think he's so, like, settled into the basketball player that he's become, you know? I just always go back to, and Bobby, you remember this, man. Like Greg Popovich, and he said it twice actually. The last two times he's been to TD Garden where he talks about, he's asked about Derek White. And the best way to put it is like, Derek White had to realize that he belongs. Like, you know, like he's that whole like G League two way player mentality. Like, Popovich is like, he's held on to that for a while. And I think a lot of that had to do with him just getting used to the fact that he's that guy, you know. I think he always kind of like, I don't want to call it imposter syndrome or whatever, but I feel like that's what Popovich was getting at. Like he had a bit of that going, and then a new situation, you know, adapting to it. It's not easy, but I think Popovich knew that it would be seamless. And it was,
would you rather have White or Murray? Because they were both guards on the Spurs at the time.
Now we're seeing that. Yeah,
it's amazing to say it'd be White, right?
Kinda, yeah. Because I mean, it didn't seem very close back when they were both in the Spurs.
And it's still amazing they went and got him, because we talked about Murray a lot. We talked about White a little bit, not enough, obviously. But it didn't seem like he had enough to go get either of them. But you go and offer Richardson and Romeo and a couple firsts, and we had our fights at the time whether it was worth it. But it ended up changing everything for this team. And you know, at the time he debated, is he that point guard? Because they really need a point guard, remember? And he's shown that with the opportunity, he can be. And he needs more opportunity, right, Jimmy? He needs to be the guy.
So if Sherrod was here, if Sherrod was on tonight, and by the way, people are asking, where's John, where's Sherrod? These are professors, guys, all right? They're not just hanging out with me, Joe Sway, and Bobby on a pod. Like, they are molding
our
youth minds. You know, for better or for worse, these guys are molding the minds of our youths. But John and Sherrod both teach separate classes, separate schools on Monday nights. So they're typically
Monday night is the tough one. Yeah,
don't make
now if they taught together, that'd really be something.
That I know Sherrod has been. I think they've both been guests at each other's. I could be wrong there, but I know Sherrod's been to John's class before. So. I am not sure. John specifically, I'm not sure if I would take a Xanis class, but I would take a Sherrod class for sure. No, I'm just kidding, John. No, but that's where those guys are. But to your point, Bobby, if Sherrod was on the show tonight, he would be screaming just what you scream, that they need to get him even more involved, right? Late in games, he needs to be not just the inbounder, but maybe somebody who gets a look. I think they just rely on his playmaking and his smarts to get everybody else kind of.
I don't think they've ever done it. Can you remember a time they put the ball in his hands and had him make a play in crunch time?
No, but we remember in the playoffs, speaking of the playoffs against the Heat last year, we all know what happened when he ended up with the ball in his hands in crunch time, the very last millisecond of crunch time.
What a great play.
Hey, though, Marcus took too long to check up that three, though. Remember that? I mean, he took that shot knowing
he missed it perfectly.
The Celtics would, I don't think he missed it on purpose, Bobby, but I think he knew, okay, look, if this doesn't go in, at least we have a shot at a.
He moved quick in that spot. And again, that's why I get it. You're down in that spot, different situation, but I hate when they drain the clock out. They have 25 seconds and they'll use it all just standing there. But that's a story for another day. I think we'll get a crunch time opportunity on Wednesday, Jimmy.
That could happen. Yeah.
If things go the way they look in that game.
Yeah, that would be nice if they could get a crunch time opportunity. We'll talk about Wednesday at the end of the show. Do we believe this guy's Chelsea claims he spoke at Sherrod's class tonight? I'm going to say 0% chance that's true.
I believe it.
Right. 0%.
If I'm wrong, Nick, if I'm wrong, you come on the show right now and you put me in my place.
And Nick's going to come on.
Nick's got a lot to say.
Oh, he does. I think he just spent a week at a podcast convention, didn't he? He was probably hosting. Oh, he claims that he did.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
He claims that he did. I would love to know what he had to say. We'll have to get Nick on a show sometime. We always try to get him on, but he's always got something going on.
We got one more piece of news, Jimmy, before we get out of here, and I do think it's worth mentioning. Drew Holiday became extension eligible today.
There we go. There it is. Drew Holiday is now extension eligible.
No news. It didn't happen right at midnight.
I don't think we expected it, right?
Yeah, because today's the first day you can actually talk to him about it and negotiate and all that. So they're going to do that. A lot of factors here. He's got a $37 million player option this summer. He can make up to $51 million in the first year of the deal based on the rules. And they're going to be paying a lot of tax from here on out. They're going to be that second apron team as well. So you got to pay Tatum this summer in a contract that's going to pay him 2 years from now. So you'll have one more year of Tatum at what he's at now. Brown's Supermax begins next year. And Derek White will be a free agent after next year. So this is going to be the toughest decision of them all.
Can they just sign everybody, Bobby? Tell us that they can just sign everybody and Wick pays for it.
I have a hard time imagining. Just on the finances alone, right? Because it's not that whole, Wick's not going to pay, blah, blah, blah. I don't think they can actually pay Warriors, Clippers level tax where you're paying more for tax than you are in the actual salaries. And that's what this could get to if you pay all these guys. The question you have to ask here is,
thanks, Taxachusetts.
Does Drew Holiday at age 34, or wherever he's at, somewhere in that range now, and all these years in the league. And is he in a position now where he'll say, all right, I'm going to take half of a contract with White, and you can figure it out with what's going to happen with White, because White actually needs to cash in, I think, right now, and that's a story for another day. But is Holiday going to be the one to say, listen, I've made hundreds of millions, I'm going to take one for the team here, just so I can stay, and I hesitate to think that I don't want to assume that, Jimmy, because I assumed that with Horford and he left to get as much money as possible. I assumed it with Hayward and he left to get as much money as possible. Different situations, different teams.
Holiday has even less reason to do that.
Yeah, but it's a different age too, Bob. I think that's the part that stands out most, man. I think if you're Drew, you understand where this team is financially and where they are in terms of the championship window. And you got guys literally going into their prime, superstars, right? Walking into their prime years. And of course, it's a no-brainer to pay these guys. But if you're Drew, you're not expecting them to actually give you the max, right? So, yeah, I mean, I think he would go into negotiations knowing that it would be a significant cut compared to the stuff that's giving him the absolute max that he's eligible for. And that's more than understandable if you're Drew Holiday and where you are this year. And if you're the Celtics, I mean, if you want to opt into that final year of the contract and do a year by year basis, I think it's worth it with a guy like Drew. But I think if you're Drew Holiday, you understand that, in your mid 30s, it's really hard to convince a team like this when you have your top tier guys well below 30. You know what I mean? That they have to pay. You know, first with Jalen starting his max deal that starts, you know, that kicks in next season, and then lining up Jason Tatum this upcoming summer for his max deal that'll line up in 2 years. So yeah, if you're Drew, you understand how this thing works from a business standpoint, and you're gonna try to meet the Celtics somewhere in the middle.
What's a realistic Drew contract? Do we have any clue, or is it
so he's owed 40 next year in the player option, so you have to give him 40, obviously. Could you do 3 years at 20 a year? So he gets his 40 and he gets an extra 20 on top of it. Does it have to be 4 years?
Wait, time 80. Out. Start over. Time out. You want it instead of him getting a 1 year 40, you want to give him 3 years 60?
Yeah, so it's like 20 a year. So he actually makes
less than he is now. Yeah, why would he do that? Like, I'm struggling to understand why.
For security, probably you're gonna retire with that contract. But yeah, I know what you mean, Jimmy. That's quite a cut.
That's a huge cut. I mean,
but that's the
he doesn't hold the Celtics anything.
No, but at the same time, let's just say he's not gonna get the max. They're not giving him the max.
No,
they're probably not giving him 40 either. 30 seems a little rich. So we're talking 20, maybe 25, but I think that's even
pushing Grant it a just got bit. 20.
So here's not where quite, we're at, right? Jimmy.
What did Grant actually get?
You might be in a spot, and I gotta look at the other teams that are out there, because obviously it's gonna be like the Pistons and Spurs and whoever else.
I think he's getting closer to $30 million a year.
And so he's gonna have to go out on the market. Do the Spurs want to give him that? He's gonna find another team that's gotta push the Celtics in that direction. Because I just don't think they're in a position. You have to pay Tatum. You have to pay White at this point. I don't think that's even a question. They can't lose White.
It's at 13.3. Sorry. But
yeah. We've reached a point with White where you have to pay him. And hopefully he's going to take his extension this summer, because that's capped at 27, I think, in his case. So hopefully for the Celtics perspective, he's not going to go to free agency in 2 years. So
yeah, I mean that's the thing.
If you're gonna lose someone here, Jimmy,
I'm going a year by year.
I mean, Holiday was a luxury to start this year, wasn't it? Like that's the guy who you're
Holiday was not part of. Yeah, Holiday was not part of their plan. We can
so this might be a luxury item for a year or two, and you're moving on after that. You can't lose White because you're paying Holiday, and I know you and John might disagree, Jimmy, but I don't think you can lose Jalen by paying Holiday.
I wouldn't disagree with that. You can't lose Jalen for Holiday. No,
I don't think you have to worry about that though now, Bobby. I mean, Jalen is locked in. I just think it's a situation for the Celtics where I'm not quite sure you want to commit to Drew. You know what I mean? Long term. I mean,
I think you want to at the right price.
Well, yeah, you want to at the right price, though, Bobby. But I just think that, you know,
and he's old. Like I hate to say it, but he's on the older side now too.
Right, and if you're Drew, I think you understand that, but you're also not going to – I mean, opting into that final year, you don't think that's a realistic thing for the Celtics?
It's possible. That might be
like
the compromise.
If that were to happen, right? And then you go for year by year, and if Drew ends up walking because he sees a better situation, then so be it. I think the Celtics, between Pritchard, between, you know, finding guys –
wouldn't that be the best bet for the Celtics, Jimmy?
You could finesse a backcourt. You know what I mean?
Kind of depends.
But if he's locked in for another year, then that's great. That lines up with the championship window that we've been talking about, especially with these upcoming, you know, this year and the upcoming season next year.
It's really going to depend, I think, on how the season goes too. I mean, if they get to the finals, anything less than getting to the finals, I think you're going to see some big changes. So it's hard to even say what's the best case scenario for them yet. Now, if they get to the finals, obviously they're built. They've proven that they're built to, you know, win a championship.
Back.
And you want to try to bring those pieces back. When the Celtics won in 08, they lost a lot of pieces. I mean, they still kept their core. They lost some of their bench, but they were able to, you know, unfortunately they ran into some health issues, but they were built to compete for a number of years after that. And I think that's the goal. That should be the goal. When you go to the NBA finals or you win, is you want to try to bring back all those key pieces if you can and run it back, try to do it again. Cause it's hard to get to that point. Once you know that you're capable of doing it, play it back, you know, try to maximize that, right? I mean, but if you don't, on the other hand, then all of a sudden it's like, well, this didn't work. Why are we going to pay Jimmy? Why are we going to pay, you know what I mean? Why are we going to pay these guys?
Some of those younger pieces, though, in that championship, you know, that 08 team that you brought up, their roles grew exponentially, right? Mm-hmm. Tony Allen, you know, Big Baby to a certain extent, you know. So I think that's part of it as well. I mean, Pritchard's a big part of this team's future, if you ask me. I thought that was a great call to lock him in for the next few years the way they did, and all of a sudden that looks like a bargain contract if he's able to continue this and grow into one of those first guys off the bench, if not a potential starter at some point, you know.
Well, if you really believed in Pritchard, you would, and again, they're completely different players, but he is a guard, and now you've got Holiday and White taking up all those guard minutes, majority of them. So
here's the other factor, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Is he going to Charlotte? Doesn't even have a lot of money. Orlando's
what are you talking about? Drew here?
Yeah.
Drew.
Orlando's got some money, but he's not going to Orlando. San Antonio's interesting because Victor's there, but I don't think so. Oklahoma, maybe.
Honestly, I could see the Spurs being such a – I mean, that's such a pop hire, I feel like, bringing a guy that can lead.
I mean, they could really break the bank on
Oklahoma,
him.
Oklahoma, though? That would be – that's not a bad
situation. I don't know.
Oklahoma's interesting.
Utah, no. Detroit, no. Philly, maybe, but I can't see it.
What about Houston?
Going back to Philly?
Houston doesn't have any money.
Oh, okay.
There's options for sure.
That's
again, it's not ideal. I'd love to see the Celtics bring him back.
Also, you got to understand too, Bobby. I mean, things open, things change, players get traded, teams make money, things kind of happen.
Yeah,
want a guy.
Open up.
I'd love to see the team bring him back for next year, but again, I won't be heartbroken if he's not locked in for the next 3-4 years.
Right.
Well, the thing is,
I'm more of a short term on Drew than I am.
And plus, let's face it, guys, this is like what we saw this year for Drew, which is a solid season. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I know it doesn't look great right now because he's hurt, but or his numbers when he's not hurt. I mean, I know he did play today, but he didn't look too great. He's still ramping himself up. That's what I'm trying to say, I guess. But my point is, this is like as good as it's gonna get, too, right, guys? I don't think you see Drew stepping things up next year or the year after that. If anything, probably go in the other direction, if anything. But I do think you can bring him back and still get the same kind of production you got this year. And obviously, like that goes into resting him on certain nights and giving him the right schedule, so to speak. You know, knowing that you need him long term throughout the playoffs. You know, I think that's a big part of it as well. When you didn't see him certain stints where he saw this kind of any type of discomfort or whatever, they took the precautions and made sure he didn't have to play too much.
The reporting from
He went 0-for-8 tonight. That's
man, he was rough tonight. So, but again, he's still hurt. I mean, he did play today, but
he looked okay. You know, he looked solid in the game.
I thought he looked good the last two games. Yeah. So this is just
health-wise,
a bad night.
Health-wise, he just had a bad night time.
The latest reporting from Windhorse is that both sides are gonna work toward a deal here. There's mutual interest in getting a deal done.
When was that reported?
About a week ago.
Okay.
So
interesting.
They're going to engage here, and maybe it doesn't work out into anything until the time comes for him to choose on that option. I think B-Rob talked to him early this season as well about this, and he expressed some interest in, you know, having some stability and figuring out where he's going to be at that point. He wanted to extend with Milwaukee, if you remember. So
he sure did.
When you toss around those other destinations there, and he's got his family and everything else, he might be at a stage where he wants something a little more stable, but he's gonna have to give back some money to do that. And I just, you know how it is, Jimmy, you always assume guys, you know, to win and to be in the best situation will take less money, but you never really know. Honestly, we've talked to him so little this year, I don't have a great gauge for where, like, I know he's been like happy to sacrifice and do what it takes, and he's just such a nonchalant guy that nothing seems to bother him. But we really haven't talked to him a lot this year to kind of get that.
He kind of goes about his business. He's kind of under the radar. He does his thing.
It's very similar to Brogdon in a way, and there's some, you know, differences there, of course. But they were both guys who were just very straightforward, did their job, sacrificed a little bit, and you know, are they happy with that? Are they not? It's really tough to tell. Like, they're obviously going to say they are, but we'll see.
You know, if he drops the I sacrificed a lot line before the playoffs, we'd be like, damn, Bobby, he is like Brogdon. You're right. Yeah. Where
and he really did. I mean, it's crazy how much he sacrificed.
That came out of nowhere, though. When Brogdon said that, I was just like, wait, what? Like, he almost said it as if, like he didn't, like, he didn't agree with it. And it was like,
he actually the playoffs, did.
Really? You want to do this right now? Like, yeah. All right. Kind of weird.
Yeah. He's been so important, though. I don't think you can have the season you had this year without him, especially on the defensive end. I think you take for granted what he's going to do on that side. Yeah.
Holiday, yeah, man.
I honestly take for granted the offense a little bit, because I felt like coming into the year, people were like, oh, you're like, he shoots just as bad as Marcus does. Like, you're going to see real quickly that he can't shoot. This dude's been, I mean, again, tonight's a bad example, but. His three-point shooting this year has been some of the best in the league. I mean, isn't he first in the corner three in the league?
Yeah, he's like, and for the season,
or some crazy number.
Yeah. For the season before tonight, he was 45% overall.
So, I mean, that to me is the underrated part of his game this year. I mean, the defense is the defense. You know, there's been some matchups where maybe he hasn't been as advertised, and the you know, opposing player, whoever that matchup was, did his thing. But again, it's kind of like Derek White with me. I trust these guys, and I'm never like, what the hell are you doing out there? Like, you know, there are some times I think maybe with Holiday, a turnover here and there, but generally speaking, like when those guys are in the game, I'm not concerned about their decision-making or about their ability to contribute in positive ways.
You can see him making a play that wins a playoff game too. Absolutely.
Yeah. Smart play. Absolutely. Definitely. And I think he allows the other guy. And again, this is what I was going crazy about in past seasons, trying to force Tatum to be point Tatum and force Brown to be point Brown. No, bring in a true point guard, bring in guards who can be point guards, like,
and
Tatum,
let them do
like Holiday and like what? Yeah. And let them do that. And then let Tatum and Brown be their
score
best
the ball.
Versions of themselves. Yeah. Speaking of Tatum, we do have a clip from Tatum after the game here. I think this is in brief comparing the team going into the playoffs this year compared with last year. But let's hear from Jason Tatum. Let's see if this works.
Got anything to say, Tatum?
He's looking at us.
Still in uniform, man.
Am I doing this wrong, or is this just slow to load here? Hit play or pause, or let's see. What we
hit
got.
Hit the play button. There you go.
I did. All right. Technical difficulties. We'll see if Amit can re-upload that or what the deal is with the Tatum thing. Anyways, thoughts on Tatum tonight? I mean, briefly, we don't need to go too hard on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he shot well. The shot's looking good. I like how the shot's looking this year.
Classic Tatum stat line, though, right here. Pretty much. This is pretty much what he does. This is what he's been doing all season, honestly. But only a few trips to free throw. That's my only beef, I guess.
I think he had a few strong finishes inside. There was one play where he stepped right into a dunk. But overall, I like the balance in his game tonight. I know you wanted the numbers.
This is Tatum without Brown. This is Tatum without Brown, by the way.
Brownless Tatum.
I know you wanted the numbers, Jimmy. So overall, pretty comparable. Him versus him before the break, him after the break. He's driving one more time per game. Still not as much as last year, but it's gone up a little bit, his amount of drives per game. His mid-range attempts are up a little bit. His pull-up attempts are slightly down since the break. So going for a more balanced approach, is that something you were noticing? Why do you want me to pull those up?
I actually – my reason for bringing that up is I actually want him to drive more. I want him to attack the basket more.
His drives are way down compared to last year.
So that's my main thing is – when he does drive, I mean, we saw it tonight. When he gets in motion, he's going up hard now, and he's throwing it down. I think more than he has in the past. I mean, he talks about building strength and muscle in the offseason. I'm seeing some nice, like, he's got a little bit more in his bag now getting to the hoop. I just wish he would go there more, and that would take away some of the forced step backs that we see in the rush.
Horrible shot tonight with a guy right in his face.
Yeah.
Bridges grabbed the ball and just dunked the other way. And Joe called timeout. You know how Joe's always like, I think Joe actually hates that kind of shot. And that's why he went right to a timeout there. So that was a bad one in the third, I think.
then we would agree with that definitely. Because, and again, when he does make a point to drive and draw contact, we've all said it. That's going to take him to that next level. If he can consistently get to the line, you know, 10 times a game, and he's being aggressive and he's forcing guys to foul him in order for him to not get the easy two, then that to me is the next level Tatum that I think we'll see in spurts. But sometimes I feel like, again, he falls back into those habits of those forced outside shots. I'm going to try this one more time. Maybe to just give it a shot here.
So a lot of pressure, man. Where you were at
last year, just here we go.
What do you think is the biggest difference, though, like trying to close out this regular season strong and going to the postseason?
I think last year we were like so antsy to just get back to the finals that we had a few bad losses in the last, you know, few weeks of the season. We went to six games in that first round that, you know, we didn't we may have took some things for granted. Right. And this year we've done a really good job of not skipping steps and respecting every game, every day, just trying to get better. As cliche as that sounds.
I like that comment a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it does sound cliche, but it's worth mentioning for sure. When you think about those last couple of playoff runs for these guys.
I caught up with Damon Stoudemire in Atlanta when I was down there, and that's actually the biggest thing he said, because I asked, what do you think it's going to take for these guys to win the championship? What's the thing that you think is going to decide that the most? And he said, not looking ahead. Like, don't look ahead at who's in the next round. Don't look ahead at the next game. Mm-hmm. You got to focus at this moment right now, every game, really. And I think that's probably one of the things we've seen this team grow the most at this year, is handling every single opponent that goes by. That, to me, is still the biggest difference this year versus last year. I know they had two really bad losses last week, but before that, none, really. Like, they had that Charlotte one early, the Lakers one with Davis and LeBron out. It's hard to find many more than that. But last year, it was like Indy, Orlando three times, Houston right around this time. Mm-hmm. They just lost to so many bad teams last year, and it was like, what the hell? You haven't had that this year. Like, this game's nothing. The game before this, easy work. They're just rolling through every opponent as they come. So I actually like that by Tatum. I think that's a real lesson. I think that's something they talk about. And I think it's something they've gotten better at. And listen, Jimmy, I think they carried themselves with that attitude. I don't know how you feel about that, Joe Sway. They went in the last year, even with everything that went on to begin the year, and said and felt like, I think, we're going to be back in the finals. We're having some ups and downs, regular season stuff, whatever. Right. We're going to be back in the finals, until they weren't.
Yeah, no, they definitely had that attitude for sure, because I think it was like they forgot it wasn't as easy as they remember, right? And I think that happens to us sometimes, or even Celtics fans. You know, they forget how close this team was to being eliminated at times. And yeah, it did take a humongous, one of the best performances of Jason Tatum's career to get out of some of those series. And I think that
Grant Williams,
the Grant Williams game. And when you look back to the certain ways, the, you know, late game possessions and all that broke down, it could have went either way, you know? And I think it's easy to forget that. And then the Celtics going into the playoffs was already thinking, okay, let's just get to June, And all of a sudden they're down, you know, 3-0 against the Heat, facing elimination. So I think all that happened very quickly to these guys. And I think that was a great learning lesson for them. To never look ahead and deal with the issues in front of them and you know, remember those moments and how hard it was, and making sure that every little flaw is corrected, you know, and this is that time to do it. Even though you got your mind set on the playoffs and wondering who the first round opponent will be and, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of minutes you'll get for some of these guys, right? I think it's in terms of where they are in you know, where they are mentally, facing the team that's in front of you and figuring out the issues that have come up against teams like even tonight against the Hornets, or even those games against the Atlanta Hawks. You know, correcting those issues is really important, because you never know when they're going to pop up again in the playoffs. So I think that's what Tatum has learned that's what he's learned from what happened last year compared to what he's doing now. And I think that's the right approach to have.
We'll see. You know? All I'm going to say is we'll see, because whatever, all that matters is what they do game one of the first round moving forward, right? So if that's actually true, what he says is true, then yeah, it'll show up. You know, if it's just talk, then we'll find out soon enough. I think this team is different, a different DNA this year than past seasons. I think it's one, because they have actually learned and they've been through it multiple times now. And two, because they brought in some guys, blood, different group, veterans, and guys who are just, I think, gelling a little bit differently, and guys who are stepping up, Hauser, for example. Right. So it does feel like a different vibe this year. And I think they're the only team that can beat, the only team that can prevent them from getting to the NBA finals is them, or health, or something like that. Yeah. When they get there, that's a whole different story. We'll see who they're playing, but one of the teams they could be playing is a team they will see Wednesday. So we'll wrap it with your thoughts on this upcoming matchup, guys.
I watched the
Thunder
game
on Wednesday.
Yes. Great test. Yeah, man. MVP candidate in the building.
He just great hit a game winner over the Knicks.
Controversial a little bit.
Yeah, on the foul call the play before, but big shot by Shea. I actually got to shout out Jalen Williams, too, who had 33 in that game. He hit that turnaround over Tatum in the OKC game. That was the biggest bet. The Celtics were storming back. I think they went down by like 15 or so and then stormed back, got within like 2 points. And then Jalen Williams just hit this bailout turnaround over Tatum that won it for OKC. And he did the same thing in New York last night from three. So there.
Yeah, he had a game and a half, 14 of 18 for him last night.
They're a tough team to judge, Jimmy, because we had this debate when the Celtics played them. Could this team go to the finals, OKC? Because they've been the one seed all year, right up there with Denver. Doesn't feel like it, but when you have a year like this, start to finish, and you have an MVP candidate, why not?
It's weird. It's like it's rare that people sleep on a one seed, but
they're
feel
the
like
second youngest team in the league. That's why.
So they're young. They're not a big market, right? They're probably the smallest market, if not. You know, one of the smallest markets in the NBA, and
Minnesota has been in the picture as well. You know, in terms of holding the one seed down, but it hasn't really, influenced people.
Well, they've been in the playoffs twice now.
It doesn't influence people from putting the Nuggets as the top contender. I think.
No, well, listen,
everyone's going to say that right now.
The Nuggets are their defending champions. They've been there. They have the veterans. You're not going to take too much stock into their regular season record because they brought back that core. And unless you've been watching the Nuggets night in, night out, which admittedly I haven't, there's probably been some games where, yeah, they took the L, but no one's really concerned about it. So record-wise, they're right up there at the top. And you're kind of just going on based on what you know from them to say, yeah, these guys are going to be there towards the end. Now with the Thunder, they didn't even make the playoffs last year, right?
No, they lost the play-in.
Right, so they're kind of coming out of, in a way, a little bit out of nowhere to be where they are in the standings. Not to be in the playoffs, but to be where they are.
It's unreal.
But they've got Giddey, who, in that same game last night, Bobby had a triple-double. This guy, Jalen Williams, is scoring from all over. SGA was a minus 15 last night, and the Thunder still won that game. So it's not just SGA, but we would all, the casual, right? Would think, it's the MVP leading the way. They have a pretty good supporting cast on that roster, so I think they're going to be a tough out. Now, if I'm betting on it, I'm still going to take the Nuggets, probably like most people are. But I think they probably could. I mean, between them and the Timberwolves, that's a toss-up series, and especially with Towns being out, maybe and who knows if he's
they handled the The Celtics have blown some leads this year. They've blown a few teams, a few games in the crunch time.
Yep.
Not many teams have handled the Celtics this year. It's been Denver, and even Denver, those games were close. The Thunder handled the Celtics in that game. And remember 2 years ago, Jimmy, they dropped, speaking of those bad losses from that year, they dropped 150 on the Celtics in OKC and just blew them out of the building. Right. So this is a young, dynamic team. And you know what John would say if he was here? They're athletic. They are one of the most athletic teams in the NBA. And the Celtics really struggle to match speed and athleticism. If there's a weakness with the Celtics roster, those are two of them right there. You really only have Jalen who can match up with that kind of speed and athleticism. So it could be tough. Like a Chet would be a challenge for Porzingis. He would.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, Bobby. I was gonna say, you know, the athleticism along with their size too. I mean, Chet Holmgren. I mean, if Wemby wasn't having the insane rookie year that he's having, I mean, this would be your rookie of the year. But that doesn't take away from what he's been doing all season long for these guys, and he's a big part of what they do. In terms of their offense too, man. If all these guys get going, you know, like their top three guys, that's when you're in trouble. I mean, they can keep up with anyone on that end of the floor, put up 150 on you. You know, like that's how good this offense is when they're rolling, and they do provide, they do put up those tough matchups for the Celtics, especially if they're shorthanded. So I'm wondering if we'll see Jaylen in this game. Wondering if the Celtics will have all their guys, but either way, this will be a great matchup, a great test for the Celtics in April. You know, weeks before the playoffs.
And guess who's back in the house, Jimmy?
Who's that?
Gordon Hayward.
Oh.
Ooh. Education Gordo. Reform, man. You know who he is.
Education reform.
He's back. Let's go.
I was excited about it.
Does he get a standing O, Bobby? If Grant, we're giving him up to Grant, we might as well give one to Gordon Hayward too.
Gordon Hayward does not get a standing ovation, unfortunately. I thought that was gonna go so great. Everyone talks about Kyrie, man. The Hayward signing didn't go the way you thought it would.
That and then was just more left. Sad than anything else.
To go to Charlotte, speaking of them.
Where would you rank? Okay, real quick, since Grant played tonight, between Fournier, Hayward, and Grant, rank the three in order of you most wish the Celtics re-signed them.
Grant, no doubt.
And then what?
Grant by a mile.
Hayward would have been fine. He actually had some good years there in Charlotte, but man, he's just gonna stay on the court. It's still the thing with him. And honestly, I've watched him a couple times.
I don't know if Harry would have been fine though, man. Like if you consider, you know, what you would have missed out on, that would have been tough.
And he would have cost so much money. But that's what I mean. I gotta say, looking at him, and you know, I gotta see him up close on Wednesday in that Oklahoma uniform. He doesn't look great out there. He looks a little.
He's washed. You gonna say it?
Yeah, he looks a little clunky out there.
he's got metal ankles at this point, man. Like, what do you want from the guy?
What are his stats? Let's pull up the stats.
He's got a role. It's just that's one of those roles where if he
bionic ankles.
If he's not giving you much, they pull him. But, I mean,
he's shooting 39% with them so far.
Corey, I'm getting a haircut tomorrow.
He gets minutes
just for you.
But yeah, it's one of those things, Bobby. If he's not going offensively, you don't see much of him in the second half as much.
Yeah. No, I don't think we'll see a ton of him tomorrow. We might see Mike Muscala though, who returned
the
there
moose?
At the deadline.
Does he get a tribute too? Oh my god.
The moose.
And videos all over the damn place.
If he gets a tribute, it better be shots of him in that leather jacket he used to rock, man. That shit was crazy.
I'll be excited to see him Wednesday.
Guys, quick reminder, March Madness is live. We will do the other half of the Final Four during Wednesday's show. So that is going to be You Got Tang Weighed versus Luke's Lemon Squares. We have a quick here. Let me play this Luke's Lemon Squares.
This is classic.
So this is
Tang Weighed versus Third Center.
This is the social media cut that we did of the origin of Luke's Lemon Squares. And it all has to do with Bobby's like...
Bobby's I think this is a top three Garden Report moment ever.
Bobby trying to basically paint a picture of like after a bad loss, and this is his angle.
They blew up for context, 28-point lead blown against the Nets.
It's just not going to work now. We're having trouble with these load ins for some reason. What is that?
Here we go.
It's coming.
Who's doing
what
it?
What the hell?
Is this Amit? Oh, is this you doing it or Amit?
Not me.
Okay. All right, well, the last one took us a second to reload, so
Luke,
let's give that one a
when
second.
Luke
is coming.
What do you want?
Oh, no, that's Cornette.
Come on, guys. Who's messing around?
Yeah, so let me just set the stage while we wait for it to load up here.
All right, set the stage.
Celtics blew a 28-point lead to the Nets that night. Luke had baked some desserts in the locker room, and I noticed only Mike Muscala tried them. They were just sitting there. I think someone maybe with PR pointed out that Luke had made them. So they're just sitting there. No one's touching them. Muscala comes over, tries one, but, you know, they just blew a 30-point lead. No one's trying these desserts. So right. you got, I come back to the show, left the locker room. You guys are like, what's the,
we were like, Bobby, hit us with like, what's the scene, yeah, man?
Second too, after
he just came in hot with like Luke.
You, because Luke probably didn't even play that night, and I'm just like,
you know, John is too. Right, he's like, yo, right. What do you got? And like, you have something.
Don't even know if we could let Bobby finish. We didn't even couldn't let him finish his sentence. We all just like,
this is what Bobby said.
I'm gonna try this one more time. Here we go.
Just beat you by double digits after being down by 28 in your building.
Bobby, yeah. You were in there. Paint us a picture of the general vibe of this team. Feeling, you know, Bobby's face. What after this happy? Loss?
Well, Luke Kornet. Cook some lemon desserts.
No, I can't do it. I can't. Stop.
I love it.
Are you kidding me?
I can't do it. I'm gonna give you 2 minutes.
Is it over? Is it over?
Get a 20-second timeout. Give me one of Jumbo Zula's timeouts and use that thing right now. Timeout. Timeout. Bobby, get back in.
How did that happen?
How did the team feel? Well, the guy who played 2 minutes didn't like it.
Well, Bobby, get back in. Luke Kornet, who was watching the show.
I was trying to paint a picture of the locker room.
I'm sorry. It was unfair. Go ahead.
Here's where I'm going with it. Made a bunch of desserts, lemon, some sort of lemon pastry, untouched in the locker room. Only Mike Muscala tried one after the game. In the locker room it was. Luke made them.
You know how we say, you know,
and there you have it. The origin of
the line. You should have led with that. You should not have led with that, Bobby. Like, that's the one you put at the end. This, that happened.
It did describe the mood, though, after the loss. Not once I got to it, right?
This guy said that. And then Luke
made
these lemon squares, and no one even wanted to touch it. That's how
I'm no, I disagree, Joseph White, because let's talk some writing, Jimmy. What would be better? Me going, the Celtics blew a 28-point
lead. Yeah, that's a lead. That's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
No, or me going,
that's a great lead. Yeah. Right.
Luke Kornet had a bucket of lemon desserts ready for the Celtics to crush the Nets and enjoy after, but they just sat there and no one tried them except Mike Muscala.
That is a hell of a lead, too. Yeah. I don't know. The whole point, you want to draw the reader in with that lead. You know what I mean? So you're right, Bobby.
I don't want to go inside the locker room too. They want to see what's going on.
But because of the laws, only Mike Muscala knows what those pastries taste like. Yeah, right. That's a good lead. Yeah.
Maybe I'll ask him if he remembers that.
You have to be a little bit shorter. You have to really. I'm not reading a paragraph like build up to like Luke's lemon squares though.
By the way, would you have tried one, Jimmy, if you were in there that night?
As a reporter?
Yes.
I mean, shit. If I'm walking out at the end, absolutely not.
As a teammate, 1,000%. Yeah. I'm trying. Yeah.
Maybe if they won, I would have tried one, but I don't think I was gonna be in there eating Luke's desserts after everyone's pissed off.
back when I don't know what it's like now, man. But shoot, when I was covering the team and it was like KG, Pierce, and those guys, I wasn't going anywhere near anything in that locker room at all.
No peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
I wasn't touching anything. I was just minding my own damn business, man. Hanging out.
I did not try one, by the way.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. It's probably for the best. But yeah, you have to ask Luke if he's considered bringing in.
I can't believe that's even an option. There's no way I'm trying as a reporter. No way.
I did interview Luke about it.
That one player who catches you, like, yo, what, did you just eat?
Yeah, like, bro, give me that shit. Bro,
not a good look. I did interview him in training
Luke
camp.
Luke himself would have to be like, Joe Sway, try one of these. That's the only way.
Yeah, if you ask Luke, like, yo, Luke, like, these, you going to throw all these away or what?
Talk about something that would never happen. Imagine Luke, Joe Sway.
Or any player, really, like, just like, even after a win, like, hey, like, reporter, come over here. Like,
I don't think people who aren't in there probably don't understand that the players do not talk to us at all.
Are they sitting at their lockers and you guys just aren't chatting with them, or there's no one in there?
Usually there's either no one in there, or guys that just have their heads buried in their phones and listening to music or whatever the hell, or they're just putting their damn clothes on and getting out of there.
Yeah, they don't have to talk. I mean, that's kind of the vibe when I was covering the team pretty regularly. I figured it was similar, but I didn't know if it was just younger guys now. But
who actually used to chit chat a ton? Grant.
I believe that. I mean, the players know when the locker room's open for media, so they know when to go in there and when to leave. And most of them were just like, oh, it's media availability. Like, I'm not
going to Jimmy, didn't Kelly Oubre one time like have like his like jewelry out or something? And didn't he have like hold it or something?
I think so, yeah. And so I would always go, yeah, I remember that. And I was like, all right, yeah. I'll toss this on my neck real quick. No, I would always go to the visitor locker room. Because,
no, I mean, you didn't throw it on, but you
no,
like.
No, I didn't, like, yeah. He was like, hold it? Like, you're trying to get like, an interview. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get the quote. But the visitor's locker room at the TD Garden is so bad that the players.
It's gotten better since you left.
It's gotten better. Used to be so bad where the players couldn't avoid you.
Yeah.
It was super small. There was no room to like go disappear really.
It's still that kind of vibe, but it's much better than it was.
Yeah. And you can just go in, get your info, and it would just be more interesting. And the players didn't hate you because they didn't know you.
Right. Yeah. No, I do that too. I go in there a lot. And
yeah. They didn't know that they hated you yet. So you could still talk to them. No, they were pretty much. I had a lot of great experiences. Honestly, I had a lot of great experiences.
To you because they didn't know you. Some players, like visiting players.
Yeah, visiting guys. You know, I loved going to the visitor locker room. There was just,
it's just a different perspective. You know what you're getting from Joe and the Celtics. You really do.
I used to have.
Especially Joe pregame.
Yeah. I would cover certain games just because I wanted to talk to a certain visiting player, like Dirk or. You know, back in the day, like you wanted to talk to the legends, Kobe, all those guys, Vince Carter, like you wanted to make sure you were in the locker room for those guys because they were legends and you just wanted to be there and get the, you know, LeBron, another one.
Yeah.
Like that's the interesting stuff. And, you know, like you just try to find cool angles that as a, you know, beat reporter of one team, you only get one time a year where they were going to get that chance. So,
yeah,
that was a cool thing about it. But anyways, we're done. Last question. Either one of you concerned about Jaylen Brown, didn't play tonight, got the sprain, possible sprained wrist situation that occurred Monday night. Or is it just rest and, you know, get ready for Wednesday?
I'm slightly, just the slightest bit concerned because if they're going to do some imaging back in Boston, it was good that he was questionable today, right? Not just out, but if they're going to do some imaging back in Boston, do you get a surprise on the scan? Like that's the worst thing you can think of is being like, oh crap, I didn't think this was bad, but look at what we just found. So I'll be anxiously awaiting what comes out tomorrow.
Wait, whoa. Oh, there you go. Panic.
But I think I'll go in the green, the second.
Yeah, I'm in the green. I mean, he played through whatever he had. He played through Monday. I don't think we're talking about anything serious here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't burst.
I'm in the green. Yeah. No bursting. I don't want his hand to explode or anything like that. Hopefully the
that's another great report.
No panic here.
Hopefully the results are good news, but yeah, I'm in the same. I'm on the same boat for sure. If so, rest him up. Rest him up for the playoffs for sure. You know, take all the time you need to rest up, Jaylen, and get ready for the playoffs.
Look at us.
We'll see.
Who knew we could do 2 hours on Celtics Hornets on
a
Monday?
Look at this. I know this is actually a great show, and it wasn't even really about the game, which I think a lot of people appreciate, but it was just good.
Look at all these guys, people still hanging out with us, man. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it. 1,200 strong still coming up on 11 p.m. So we're going to call it. Again, we want to thank Prize Picks for being a great sponsor. And again, it's a download the Prize Picks app, the number one fantasy sports app in the world. Promo code CLNS after you download the app for 100% deposit match up to $100. Pick more or pick less. It's that easy. Guys, it's been real.
Excited to get back to the Garden, Joe Sway. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, wow. Man.
You guys going to show up, come collected. Yeah, wear your Wednesday best for a big matchup, actually. It should be a fun one. There's not many. This is probably the last best game, right?
Yeah.
You got the Kings. That's pretty much it. But yeah, this would be
Kings
good
could be fun. We'll see.
This would be a good one.
Yeah, it should be a fun week. Three games at home. We're home cooking. And starting off with the most challenging matchup for sure, or even the Kings going to be a good game too as well. But this one will be great because of what the Thunder have been doing lately and what it means for them, right? With playoff implications and all that stuff. I mean, it's still of course a tight race in the Western Conference. And if this team gets going offensively too, man, Celtics, I don't know, man, could be a big fat L. But either way, it'll be a competitive game for sure.
Somebody asked, where can we see the bracket? The bracket is here. You can vote right here in the chat. But once the show ends, this voting ends. But you can go to Celtics CLNS Twitter, and you could vote again there. And then again on the Kevin Jelly region, we'll go live during Wednesday's show. So you're going to check out the show. It's going to be a full house. I think we're going to be five strong Wednesday night. Should be a fun one. And as I'm off the screen here, but we're going to call it, guys. So again, thanks everybody for joining us. Bobby, Josue, it's been real. I'm going to try to play the outro this time, because if you were paying attention Monday night, I played the intro and I don't want to do that again. So without further ado, deuces. Wait, Amit's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal.
Porford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.